present and accounted for. I asked Chuck if he wanted to join, but he's going to join us next week. Because actually, we don't have any stations here, so...
Remember, I'm not available to produce next week.
I didn't know you could just...
I just casually duck in and out, man.
Yeah, right.
Oh, he let me know last week.
Oh, you always take his side. What is that all about?
It's the, the Suck Dance Film Festival all up in my face.
You guys are like Hannah and Rain in that picture. Here we go. All right.
Hello and welcome to the special presidential inaugural episode of the PC Gamer Podcast, also known as episode number 161 for January 15th, 2009. This is your host, Logan Decker, and with me today at Camp PC Gamer are Vice Reviews Editor Dan Stapleton.
Vice.
Secretary of Associate Editor Evan Lottie.
What's going on?
Speaker of the Intern Josh Augustine.
That sounds kind of impressive. I dig it.
And Majority Whip podcast producer Andy Bauman.
Yeah, I need some caffeine in me.
I'm the only one here who seems to have been demoted.
What's wrong with Vice Editor? That sounds really hot.
Well, no, that's like, you know, second in command. That's not cool.
Maybe you can be a Vice Roy.
That's because Crockett is the reviews editor, I guess, right?
Like, I don't even know who that is.
Like that guy from Miami Vice.
Oh.
Something. I don't know.
Somehow that joke just went right by me.
I know.
So is he Jamie Foxx or the
other? He's an 80s.
Or the other guy.
Oh my god, no. That's the movie. That's not canon. That doesn't count.
Oh. But it's got the 50 caliber sniper rifle blowing people's arms off.
Whoa.
I'd say that's pretty canon.
Is it any good?
No.
I liked it.
So how come they didn't make a game of that? It just seems like a natural one, like, you know. Oh, I guess there already was. Grand Theft Auto. So Dan, you just got back from vacation, did you not?
Yeah, I just went snowboarding.
Oh, yeah. I saw that on Twitter. I was going to say something about that.
That's so active.
That's cool, Dan. You went to
Bear Valley.
Bear Valley. Is that a pretty...
I'm not very good at it, just to be clear. Cool.
It's still moving
Dude,
fast.
You're sliding on snow. I'm all advocate of that.
Yeah, I did not exceed 3 miles per hour on my vacation.
my favorite snowboarding quote comes from Eddie Izzard, who said, in snowboarding, you're either there are two positions: you're looking cool, and there's dead. And I spent a lot of time in the dead position.
Yeah. Did you like wipe out, and do you just go sailing for like 50 meters?
Mostly sliding down the hill on my butt for 50 meters.
Does it hurt?
No, not really. And I'm very sore right now. It's just like it's like doing push-ups because you have to pick yourself up so many times.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sore in the arms and legs actually from you know actually the actual snowboarding part.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever hurt yourself snowboarding?
No, I haven't done it enough times to really wound myself, and I always try and make myself go, you know, keep myself going slow, too slow to do any real damage.
How about this? Have you ever seen anybody wipe out when you were snowboarding really bad, and then you see like their arm is in a position that like they can't be unless it's, you know,
broken?
Yeah.
No, but when I got on the ski lift, the operator told me, you know, be careful out there because there are a lot of injuries today. My roommate just broke his clavicle. I'm like, don't tell me that.
Wow. Yeah. That was pretty intense.
I don't think I've ever been told by a lifty that be careful out there. There's lots of injuries.
Yeah,
so that must be like really intense. And I'm, you know,
especially since I was on the wussy slope.
You know,
I wasn't on like double black diamond or anything like that.
Right.
Wow. Well, you came home to good news because the big Left 4 Dead patch was released. Was it not?
It was. Yes. Evan, yeah. this is your area of expertise.
Evan, why don't you tell us about the big Left 4 Dead patch?
Yeah, I'd love to. mean, as you guys are probably familiar with, Valve likes to drop things at a moment's notice. I mean, we knew it was coming this week. We didn't know what was in it. They didn't really give us any sign, but pretty significant balancing changes to the infected side. And they fixed a bunch of exploits. I had the chance to try it out for a round last night in Versus. And really the biggest one worth noting is the smoker, which, let me see if I can describe this. Basically, the smoker, which is like the character that uses his tongue to sort of pull people away. And initially you could sort of melee people out of that to free them from his grasp at any moment. But this time, when he pulls you away, he does damage as he drags you, and you can't free people until they're paralyzed, until they're sort of
there's a moment there when you're snagged by a smoker. You have like a couple seconds where you can shoot the smoker that's got you. Now, if you don't shoot him, he paralyzes you. You can't do anything until somebody saves you. So I guess the problem that they fixed there was that that you know your buddies could free you before you were even paralyzed. So smokers were having a hard time basically. And then yeah. You know, I was playing with you guys just the other night, and I kept spawning as a smoker and was having a hell of a time just doing anything. I did get the long drag achievement though, which bummed me out because like just with this patch they added it so that they added in the smoker does damage at you know whenever he's dragging somebody. So before like when I got that achievement, I didn't do any damage even though I dragged the guy you know halfway across the map. It didn't hurt him because it didn't used to hurt the guy until he was like either hanging or you were you know, wailing on him with your tongue around him. So I got robbed of some damage there.
Yeah, it's definitely a welcome buff. The smoker is a lot more useful and easy to use. The HUD enhancements for the infected side are really welcome too. You can actually, there's a countdown timer until that shows how long it is until your teammates respawn. Actually shows how much life they have, which is useful, of course. I guess the other big change was they normalized the melee damage for infected. It sounds like kind of an intricate, just a detail, but people were really using the hunters to deal 10 damage at a time when they were playing as, and it was pretty significant compared to the other damage you do as infected. So instead now, the hunter does 6 damage per melee attack, and I think the other infected do the same or about the same.
They also made it so that the hunter has a little bit easier time jumping on people who are meleeing.
Yeah,
it was too easy to you know melee a hunter before he landed on you.
Yeah, definitely. They had a pretty serious radius almost of protection when they meleeed. I'd like to see them almost introduce. I want to say this is in before like a patch that what do you call it? It's sort of like melee fatigue. Like people can melee infinitely right now. They can just stand in a corner and have everybody you know hold the button down. It sort of fixes I mean, a lot of people use the closet defense for a lot of different parts. With the smoker being able to drag people more successfully, that sort of eliminates that as a good, as a great strategy. But I'd like to see some sort of fix in the future, maybe with melee, because it's just so powerful.
Is the closet defense still really really valid? I was reading some forums where people were saying it's done. They say in the fix list that they fixed some map exploits as well. So do you think they may have made it harder to do that?
I'm not sure. I think the big map exploits were things that had to do with like that door in the outdoor section of No Mercy, like Part 3 and a couple others. But I think, I mean, in a lot of cases, if you're trying to pull someone out of a closet, you have to face them directly and everybody's looking at you. So it's feasibly very easy for them to shoot you for a smoker anyway, so I don't know if it's done with completely, but hopefully it'll make it less viable, because I mean, that's just less exciting for people, I think. It's less interesting.
Yeah, going and hiding in a closet is not my my idea of how to survive the zombie apocalypse.
It is an alternative, however.
Yeah, and it's a valid method, but it's a little bit more passive. You know, you want to be out there, you know, doing some damage. And, and if you're gonna hole up somewhere, you know, somewhere better than a you know 4-foot by 4-foot closet would be ideal, I would say.
Another patch that came out over the holidays, I believe, was it? It was the Fallout 3 patch 1.1.
Well, it was just the last couple of days. Okay, it was 2 days ago it came out.
It's fresh.
Yeah, the 1.1 patch came out, and it doesn't add a whole lot. It fixes a bunch of bugs mostly. I've only jumped in really quickly to see if my save games were intact, and they were, which was a nice thing. You know, it always sucks with a big RPG where they come in and they fix some things, but at the cost of the characters that you've put a bunch of time into. So that would have been very, very sad if they had killed all my characters with a patch.
But yeah.
It's mostly stuff, you know, bug fixes. There are a few quest fixes where they had like some exploits where you could get infinite bottle caps or let's see.
Nobody told me about that one.
Yeah, I don't know exactly where these were. I'm just reading the patch notes. Like they fixed instances where like your father had no valid dialogue, which would, you know, these all sound like game enders pretty much. So these are some, or a lot of them do. So these are some significant bugs that people ran into. I never ran into any of these bugs myself, and I played through, you know, 2.5 times so far.
I don't want to come off as smug, but Fallout 3 has to be one of the least buggy games. I mean, I can't even remember any bugs playing through the game.
I saw a few bugs, but nothing game stopping.
And I was amazed at how smooth it was. Yeah, I mean, I know, you know, people are always going to have problems, but I was very pleased.
Yeah, it is amazing that the variety that you'll see in, you know, people's experiences with games like this. Some people will see no bugs at all. Some people, it's like a bug every 5 minutes. And, you know, I before everybody jumps on Logan and you know, complaining that you know, oh, how dare you call this bug free? Be aware that not everybody is seeing these bugs. I mean, even with something like Grand Theft Auto, like, you know, when our reviewer did the review, he had fine performance. But then, you know, on a bunch of other computers, it's not nearly as good. So, I mean, that's kind of one of the hazards of PC gaming.
Yeah, I mean, I was on the other side on Far Cry 2, whereas nobody else seemed to be having any of the problems I was having until I finally yanked out the old drivers and put in new ones, and that swept it out of the way. But it was a nightmare for me at first.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to the Fallout 3 DLC, which is coming out, I think, in a couple weeks. It's like a simulation of the Chinese invasion of Anchorage, Alaska. That you go in and it's like a historical recreation from that you can go in and fight in. But when that comes out, I think I'm going to start a new game and go through and see if the problems that I had were fixed. The problems I had were some occasional freezing, which actually got more frequent as the game went on in certain areas, mostly indoor areas. I really want to see if they fixed that, which. Although I've been reading that may be like audio codec related, so now that I've reformatted my machine, it might not be a problem.
Yeah, that DLC, I'm really excited about that. Do we know if that's gonna cost money or is that free?
It won't be free.
No. Oh, okay.
I think it's gonna be like $10. Yeah.
Okay, that's not bad.
Yeah, Microsoft signed an exclusive agreement with them, so to sort of prevent it from going on to PS3, but that extends to the PC. Luckily, not just Xbox.
Right. And when you got the latest patch, it installs the Microsoft Games for Windows Live Marketplace to facilitate getting that DLC in there.
So do we know when the patch is coming out? That's coming out, you said, in a couple weeks?
It's released on January 27th.
January 27th. Oh, so just after our next podcast. For anyone who wants a bit of insight into the process of game development, this is really interesting. There is a list of video game companies that are on Twitter. Who put up that link? That's really interesting.
That was me.
Yeah. So have you checked out which companies are on there yet?
Yeah, I've looked down the list. There's a lot of them.
We've got 2K Games, 38 Studios, 3D Realms.
I like that it's not just the official, like, no, this is EA's Twitter site. It's a lot of people that work inside the business, like their personal and business Twitter. So you kind of get to follow the people working inside. So, I mean, if you're interested in like a game developer or something, like, they go through and talk about what they're doing throughout the day. Obviously, they can't disclose like all the details, but you get a general idea of what that lifestyle is sort of like. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. So if they're all saying how much they hate their lives,
then you know the game's about to come out. Because they're working 24 hours a night.
Are there any highlights you've followed yet, Josh?
Not yet. I actually just found that this morning, so haven't really gone through. Because there's probably, I don't even, a few, at least a couple, 300 maybe total on here.
Yeah, I'm following a lot of them. Paul Barnett from Mythic is pretty interesting. He's always known as a pretty colorful personality. I just added a guy named David Johnson, who works for Splash Damage now, but he made the original DE dust map for Counter-Strike. There's quite a few more, a lot of journalists that I follow.
Another cool aspect of this is that I'm noticing that, like on a lot of the official accounts for these for games, they'll list all the all the interviews they're doing as well. So if you really want to grab all the information on a game, you can find out. Oh yeah, I just did an interview with this website over here, and yeah, you can really follow all the great stuff that's coming out. That they're you can get the most up to date information. And hopefully Isaac Clarke will tell me when the next Dead Space is coming out, because I didn't subscribe to him.
Yeah, just a non-gaming related one. Shaquille O'Neal has a Twitter, and he's been running it for the past month or so, and it's actually him. Like, it's not a PR person or anything else. It's pretty hilarious. So check that out.
That's one insightful mind I've really been looking forward to hearing from.
it's really funny. Go where your dreams take you. Live the real you. Shaquille O'Neal. Like, he posts, like, future quotes of himself. I don't know. He's ridiculous.
Future quotes.
Yeah, sort of like he wants to be quoted as saying these things, and they're inspirational messages. It's very positive, and I don't know what to call it.
If you want to be quoted as saying something, all you have to do is say it. That's the traditional method.
I'm looking at Sean Vanaman from Telltale Games. One of his says, there's a sign in the bathroom that reads, free cowboy hats, take one over the toilet seat covers. We need one of those. I thought our bathroom stuff was clever, but I would love to see someone walking around with that as a cowboy hat.
That works.
Very rustly, though.
That's true.
So the GeForce owners got a little surprise too. The latest drivers have a long, long, long awaited feature, which is that the 1.18 release of the NVIDIA's drivers finally enable multi-monitor SLI.
Which they do finally after I'm no longer running SLI. It's like, ah.
But okay, now isn't there I haven't installed these across all my machines yet. Isn't there you were saying there was some hitch about it? Is there one instance in which it doesn't work?
Telling me
about that, Dan? Okay.
That wasn't me.
All right. Cuz readers, if you readers, listeners, anyone if you anyone who installs these drivers, please let me know what you think. Because, like we were just talking about earlier, hardware is so diverse that I would love to hear if this is working across all different kinds of setups.
Although I guess not a lot of people who have SLI have multi-monitors, just for the reason that it didn't work until right now.
Exactly. So. That's why So I would love just to hear if there were any problems, or if it just simply worked exactly like you'd expected it to. Because I imagine it's going to take a while for it to shake out, and I just want to get a feeling for how well this is working. But I'm very, very happy that we've finally gotten past this here.
Yeah, it really doesn't seem like it should have been that big an issue for them, because, they've got – if you've got two cards in there, you've got at least four monitor ports, and you can only use one of them. That was the most aggravating part of it, is just looking at the back of your computer and seeing this bank of display ports. And you couldn't use them.
You know what? I'm not proud of it, but as a result of my profound laziness, I just wouldn't enable SLI a lot of times when I was using multiple monitors, and I wouldn't, go through the to do the boot afterwards. And
they didn't even do make it super easy for you. Like, if they just put like a shortcut that I could have on my desktop, or if I could map it to a function button on my keyboard to enable and disable SLI without going into the control panel, that would have been a decent workaround. But having to do that every time I wanted to play a game, no.
Yeah. But they do list a lot of performance increases as a result of these drivers for games like Lost Planet, World in Conflict, BioShock.
There's a substantial increase for Far Cry 2 as well, I think.
Oh,
nice. Like it's like up to a 30% increase on Far Cry 2. But there's one other thing, another new tech feature that these drivers enable. That's that if you have SLI NVIDIA cards, you can dedicate one of them to strictly process physics for PhysX, which at this point is kind of useless, I guess, because I mean, what are you going to do? Use that on Mirror's Edge, and you know, I mean, there just aren't that many games that require physics acceleration or would make use of it to that degree, I don't think. But you know, maybe there are some coming down the pipe that we don't know about yet. So it's nice that they've got that enabled now and you know, can work some bugs out of it by the time it's useful.
Yeah, well, that's fantastic. That's a nice little birthday or New Year gift from NVIDIA. Surfacing on the choppy waters of the internet, we found leaked Star Wars Battlefront footage. A little glimpse of what might have been. Evan, you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's sort of courtesy of the demise of Free Radical, an independent UK developer that shut down earlier this month, unfortunately. They're one of my favorite developers, actually, on console. They did Time Splitters and Second Sight. And
did you like Haze?
I didn't like Haze. I had to review that when I was a freelancer. And anyway, bad news bears. But Star Wars Battlefront 3 looked really promising. I hadn't played the other two games as much as you, Dan, or probably anybody else. But whatever engine it was running on was running really cleanly with a good amount of detail. Had a bunch of original like Hoth missions and playing as Ewoks and playing as Jar Jar Binks so you can, you know, forcibly put him into terrible situations and have him killed. Playing as Darth Vader using Force powers. It looked really interesting. I'm hoping LucasArts finds a way to push it along to somebody else.
Well, most of those features that you mentioned, I think, were in Battlefront 2, which Pandemic developed Battlefront 1 and 2. And they actually just did Lord of the Rings Conquest, which is out, I guess it's out now. It hasn't made much of a splash. I haven't gotten that one in yet. But it's very kind of formulaic in that respect. I mean, what they were doing with it, I would have very much liked to have seen what a new developer would have done on it, just to shake up the gameplay a bit. Because you know it was very samey from Battlefront 1 to Battlefront 2.
Yeah, certainly. And I mean, I just miss those old X-Wing versus TIE Fighter games so much. I'd take anything I could to put some vehicles in the air from the Star Wars universe and just
right. This footage that you were showing me, where did you see that one, Evan?
Where did I see it? It was originally posted on Kotaku.
Right. The footage that you were showing me had some impressive space stuff, and Battlefront 2 had gone a little bit into the space realm, but you know it was still primarily a land based game. This one looks like it may have wanted to expand on the space stuff more, which would have been great. And you know, like you said, Evan, those old X-Wing and TIE Fighter games were so great that anything along those lines would have been great to see. I'm actually shocked that LucasArts has like let this one not I read somewhere, this is unverified, but I read somewhere that one of the reasons that Free Radical ended up shutting down was because LucasArts pulled the plug on Battlefront 3, and that was like one of the things that they were counting on to keep them afloat financially. But it was my understanding that Battlefront 2 was like the best-selling Star Wars game ever.
Yeah, that's a head scratcher. I can't.
Yeah, it's like why would they not put out a third game? So maybe the development wasn't going the way LucasArts liked, and maybe in that case they will shop it out to a new developer.
Or it could have been that they had made like some sort of deal with Satan, who said like after 3 games, then I blow your whole company up. Or I'd take all your souls. So they're just trying to hold off that part.
Like, after the new trilogy, they don't have souls left.
it's funny, though, that you mentioned that decision on part of LucasArts. I read there's this presentation I found online through Twitter, of course, by Brian Fargo, who runs his own company now, but originally helped develop Baldur's Gate, original Fallout, Neverwinter Nights, I think. A couple other really big PC properties. Anyway.
Yeah, he was a Black Isle guy.
That's right. And he in his presentation, he claimed that the three surefire ways to make a hit game successfully make money were either to do a big sequel, get Nintendo to publish it and spend $5 million on marketing, or get the Star Wars license.
Yeah.
Although, I mean, there have to have been a lot of Star Wars games that flopped.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at you know, Force Commander, for one thing, the dreaded Star Wars RTS from like 2000. That was an abomination. I think that there is a copy of it over on the shelf somewhere. I've passed by it a few times. Like, maybe I should install it and just see how badly it's aged on top of being bad to begin with. But no, I just can't bring myself to you know, install that game again.
Yeah. I can't help but wonder, though, that if even a Star Wars flop doesn't hurt as much as other flops might.
Yeah, I mean, there's got to be a bunch of people that just buy anything with Star Wars on it.
Yeah.
You know, without listening to the desperate warnings of anybody who's ever played it. It's like, well, it's Star Wars. How bad can it be?
there's definitely a period of oversaturation, I want to say in the late 2000s and probably a little earlier than that. But even Force Unleashed, which sort of got mixed reviews, was pretty good but not great, sold over 1.5 million on Xbox alone, I guess.
Yeah, that one, like, you know, people were all upset that it wasn't coming to the PC, and kind of rightfully so, because, I mean, there were quotes coming out of LucasArts saying, oh, the PC can't handle this, which the PC can handle.
Come on, the game is made of middleware. There's like 10 different kinds of physics technology in there.
and yeah, with all the physics acceleration stuff going on the PC right now, yeah, we probably could have handled it. Although it may have been a system spec higher than what they wanted to put it out on, which, you know, I guess that's kind of a fair thing. But you know, having seen all the kind of middling reviews for Force Unleashed, I'm not that upset that's not out on PC.
Same here.
You know, I would like to informally nominate as the game of the holiday season 08-09, Defense Grid, The Awakening.
Oh, yes.
Do I hear any, you know, agreement, Logan, dissension?
Logan hasn't been on the podcast last couple times, so he hasn't heard me just, like, raving about it.
Oh,
so.
Did you already go on about that? Right.
On and on and on.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just, you just think, okay, that's my last game.
You know? I wouldn't go that far, but it's,
and then 6 hours later you're like, oh no, oh, okay, oh, that, one more. Okay, yeah.
It's definitely just one more. I've been up until the wee hours of the morning playing that game.
One more. Okay, one more.
Now, Logan, how come I haven't seen any of your scores on the ladder?
Because I'm not playing it on Steam.
Why not? I want to kick your ass on the ladder scores.
But yeah, don't you guys agree that without the AI voiceover character, which is so strong, it'd be a totally different experience?
I do agree. Although I think that the map designs are great, and I think that the backgrounds and the variety of the settings is also great. Without all that extra polish, you know, it's pretty much just another you know, tower defense game. But you know, it's a full featured tower defense game, and it looks good too. So. You know, I think it's a fantastic game.
Yeah, it looks terrific.
It's almost like the AI. I mean, I want to call it more than the story. It adds this, like, this sense of persistency. Like, I want to know what else he has to say, how that's going to develop, how he's going to, you know, learn more of his background and things like that. It just makes it really so appealing to me.
Yeah, he's kind of like a more friendly GLaDOS.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think of it as like Blood Tetris, you know. Because it's got that same Tetris sort of like, oh god, one more game, you know, but you just want to crush more, you know, crush, kill, destroy. I got at a little troll there. Why don't we take some questions from the studio audience?
Hey, PC Gamer Podcast, this is Nico from Wisconsin. On a recent forum thread in the Talk Gaming forums, someone posted something about Counter-Strike 1.6, New Era, or something like that. And it looks just like Counter-Strike 1.6, and it looks just like they're basically the same thing. But I'm wondering, is this a WARES file? Is it illegal? Or is it like a free freeware copy of Counter-Strike? Any help would be appreciated. Thanks. Bye. Keep up the great work.
Yeah, just looking up right now, I actually hadn't heard of it before. It seems like it's sort of a mod for 1.6 that takes it outside of Steam, made some graphical updates, and improves performance in some areas, I guess, in their opinion. But otherwise, it's the same game. I'm not sure why they would feel the need to take Counter-Strike out of Steam.
Maybe to make it more easy to pirate would be my guess. Yeah, I don't know. This is the first I've heard of it, too. I don't know what the point of that would be.
I mean, this late in the game, it's one of the most played multiplayer games of all time. It's $20 on Steam. There's a Source Edition if you want to play it with better graphics anyway. I don't know what the big deal is, but...
Next question?
Hey, guys. I've noticed that you've been interested in Fallout 3 for a while, and I got it for Christmas. I've only had, like, 17 hours in it, when in Oblivion I have, like, 200 or so. That's only with one character. But I just charged through the storyline in Fallout 3 and did some of the side quests, and then I lost complete interest in it. And I keep trying to go back to it, but it's just not working. Can you tell me what you find so interesting that keeps you going on? Because I'd really like to go back to it and keep playing. It was kind of expensive for someone who doesn't really make much money. All right, bye.
I don't know. It sounds like he's more of a fantasy guy than a sci-fi guy. I mean, that's.
I would say that. I mean, that's the distinction. It's
and they do play very similarly. I mean, they're. I mean, Fallout has been referred to as Oblivion with guns, although I disagree with that. I mean, that's an oversimplification of it. I mean, it's a very similar style of game, and if the universe just isn't appealing to you, then there's not much that we can say to you that will change your mind about that. My suggestion, really, I mean, honestly, I think the main quest of Fallout 3 is kind of the weakest part of it. I think that the side quests, there are so many of them, so many things you can do just and find by just exploring. Just going off on your own and looking around in unexplored parts of the map, I think that's the strength of the game, you're just discovering things.
Yeah, my favorite part about the game is I'm really an explorer when it comes to those type of games. I love just walking into a new town, and then it looks totally peaceful, and then you start uncovering all these little secrets about the town where, you know, it looks kind of sketchy. Oh, they're killing people. Why are they killing people? And there's a big story in each little town that you walk into. I like it.
When you said I walk into a peaceful town, I thought you were going to say, and then I kill everybody.
That's another option,
fantastic
yes.
Fantastic time.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
I'm actually on the other side of that coin. I just did not respond at all to Oblivion, you know, because I'm just not a fantasy guy. But the minute I opened up, you know, launched Fallout 3, I'm like, yes, this is where I want to be.
Yeah, I'm the same way. You know, I can kind of appreciate fantasy stuff, but I'm really a sci-fi guy at heart.
Yeah,
I spent a lot of time in Oblivion. I think I'm going to spend more time overall in Fallout.
But I would say, you know, keep going for the side missions, you know, because there's so much, like Dan said, outside of the main mission that's really interesting. And I think once you get into, like, two or three missions that you really love, then you kind of get into the groove of the game, and you're like, okay, now I'm going for it.
I think one difference between Fallout and Oblivion that might be putting him off is that the characters in Oblivion are designed to... just keep progressing. As long as you play it, you'll keep progressing, keep becoming more and more powerful, and you'll eventually be, you know, super good at everything. And you know, that's why you can spend 200 hours on one character and still be, you know, be doing that. With Fallout, you max out at level 20, you finish the game and it ends. And part of what I really enjoy about it is going back and starting over as a completely different character, taking a very different approach to all the quests that in the good, evil, or neutral, or you know, different approaches to the quests, and having different results.
Yeah, and hopefully our caller will find it heartening that with the GEC release that came out in December, I think, Dan? I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think it did.
We should start seeing more mods coming out. I've already seen a few weapon mods and sort of texture update mods, but we're going to be running a extended play feature on how to make your own vault using the level editor and GEC. So we should start seeing some more content, user-created content at least, in the future. I was going to ask you, though, Logan, you said it's because it's sci-fi, but do you think the satire, the sort of light satire, and the fact that it takes place on sort of familiar territory has a role in your enjoyment of Fallout versus Oblivion?
I would say yes. I mean, the fact that that it does take place in an identifiable setting, that it is, that a lot of it is tongue in cheek. I find that to be very enjoyable, a part of my enjoyment.
I don't feel either way about the satire, satirical elements, but I do. Yeah, the familiar setting, I would absolutely agree. But there's something about post-apocalyptic settings that I just love.
Well, and the thing
scramble
about,
for survival, you know, and
right. But the thing about post-apocalyptic settings is that they are like this world but destroyed. So it's like you can imagine that happening in this world. Whereas with fantasy stuff, it's like all an old-timey. Like, there's no way that can really happen to us, you know.
Yeah.
There's no set of circumstances. There's no China launching nukes at us. You know, that could happen. We can imagine that. We can't really imagine being in swords and sorcery.
I think it's something more essential than that. It's just something about a particular environment that sparks my imagination in a way that fantasy environments don't. And I'm not certain that I could put a finger on what exactly it is.
Sure.
So other than just to say that's what gives me a book. I was just going to use the B word, but I'm not going to do that.
I want to say real quick, with the satire, I love these sort of natural moments of juxtaposition that arise when you have the Enclave radio station on. And there's all these patriotic tunes going, and it's like, it's kind of like old Revolutionary War music almost, and you're just killing super mutants, like, and you're going out past all these destroyed ruins. I mean, it's obviously intentional on Bethesda's part, but it just plays out so well and so naturally.
Yeah, it's very well done.
Okay, quick question before we move on to the next question. You're going to see in the next issue that we're working on April 2009 right now at PC Gamer, and you're going to see reviews of some 3D action. 3D hardware, and then it's going to be a big theme of 2009. A lot of people, different companies, are pushing their 3D hardware. And what does everybody think about it? Not having seen where it's come so far, not having seen the new wave of products, is that something you've been looking forward to? Do you think games have been lacking that that extra element, or do you just think I'm not why?
Yeah, I'm kind of in the latter category there of why. I mean, it might be cool, but it strikes me as gimmicky. It doesn't.
Okay.
I don't know if it's going to add a whole lot to gaming or enough to make me want to buy a bunch of new hardware, specifically for that.
Yeah, and it is new hardware that you do have to buy. You are correct, sir. What about you, Evan?
For me, as someone that plays games in a competitive context pretty frequently.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing I'm worried about is it be sort of a distraction. In reality, though, I think all I ask is that it doesn't hurt me.
Okay, that's very sanguine. Yeah.
You know?
How about, now, Josh, I'm particularly interested in what you have to say because you spent so much time in MMOs. Do you think that would add anything?
To be honest, I totally missed the first part of this conversation, so I have no clue what we're talking about.
Were you playing World of Warcraft or something?
He was off in his own fantasy world.
No, I was trying to piece it together from the responses, and all you guys kept saying it or that, and I was like, someone say what it is.
Okay, can we cross out Wunderkind from the description we had of him? Yeah,
ouch.
You just got demoted. No, we're talking about like if you are you looking for 3D hardware is going to be a big theme of 2009. Are you looking forward to that, or do you just not care? Do you not understand what the big deal is yet? Not having seen or heard much about, you know, what's coming out.
Yeah, I've never really been into the whole 3D thing. Like, until it's like 3D and I can interact in it 3D, where it's like the chessboards and Star Wars, where you can move it around like that. Yeah. Like, yeah. I don't really care. I mean, it just seems.
Or when you can turn the safeties off in the holodeck.
Exactly.
Yeah, did I forget to mention that I turned the safety? Oh man, I'm so sorry. Yeah,
better get Moriarty out of here.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was just down in Disneyland a month or two ago, or I guess 2 months ago, and I saw the Honey I Blew Up the Kids or Honey I Shrunk the Audience, that's what it was, thing, and you know that had a couple of cool 3D moments in it, but you know that's where I got like the gimmicky thing. It's like it could have a couple of neat things that happen, but I mean after the first. You know, time or two that happens, it's like, it's novelty kind of wearing off.
Yeah. My problem with stuff like that is a lot of times they focus on is, oh, make it do something cool in 3D. Like, instead of making a good game or a good experience, it's just like, oh, make something fly out at the audience every 10 seconds.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
Exactly, the gimmick.
I think the thing I will always love most about 3D was that enormous trend in the late 80s, early 90s of imagery of people wearing gigantic helmets. And it's just, these classic images of this is what 3D is like in the future. Uh-huh. Huge black helmets and visors.
I remember Jaws 3D.
I think that was more virtual reality than 3D with the giant helmets.
And yet, we don't see a lot of giant helmets these days, which is, the future was robbed of. We were robbed of that particular future. But somewhere in a parallel universe, that's exactly the way it happened.
Earth minus two? Yeah.
Yeah, so. And they're all walking around with those giant helmets going, wow, this is awesome. I love our timeline, our present. Yeah. Let's take another question. Let's entertain one more listener.
In the last podcast, you guys mentioned MechWarrior, which made me remember Firing the Long Tom. The MechWarrior is a difficult game to play already, and Long Tom is a difficult weapon to use. So I was wondering, what's the most difficult thing you've ever done in a video game? Thanks. Keep up the good work.
Oh my goodness. Good question. Side note, I love the Long Tom. I used to play MechWarrior tabletop, and it's like an artillery piece.
Most difficult? That's kind of an interesting question. I mean, like, is that like the most difficult thing that was worthwhile? Because, I mean, there are a bunch of games out there that are just impossible, that just have terrible controls.
Maybe just like a memorable accomplishment. Maybe that's what he means.
Yeah, I don't know. I beat the original Far Cry on like the hardest difficulty level. That was difficult. I don't think that's what he's going for though. It's a difficult question. I'd have to ponder it.
I'll go ahead. With all the raid bosses in World of Warcraft, just working with your guild constantly, you work for weeks, and then when you finally down like the one big boss, and our big thing. Back in the old day, was raiding on Nyxia. Like, when you finally got her down after, like, months of trying, like, that's a big deal.
Good answer.
And then you have no idea what to do with your life.
Exactly. Or what's left of it after spending so much time.
And then she takes you to court, and, you know, you have to go through all that. And
I remember being absolutely obsessed with the 50 caliber Barrett in Battlefield 2, because it had that little hint in the description where it said, this can penetrate armored glass, such as helicopter cockpits. And so I spent like days trying to get a helicopter kill off of the sniper rifle by like just offing the pilot while in flight. And like, it's so hard, but once you get it and the helicopter just goes into a spin and just crashes and the gunner dies too, you're just like, oh my god, that was the best thing I've ever done in a video game.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
That reminds me of the finale on Dead Air, you know, when the plane crashes in Left 4 Dead.
Exactly, yeah.
When you're on the tarmac, I'm always like, I always shoot at the cockpit. I'm like, oh, got him. Coming down.
Genius.
You know, I can't think of a specific moment, but I remember the time I played the first time I played through the first Max Payne. And I would run into a room, blow everybody away, and think, you know what? That wasn't perfect. And so I would reload and then do that, you know, bursting through the door scene again. I would do it like 50 times until I had it perfectly choreographed John Woo style, you know. Blam, blam, jump, blam, roll, blam, blam. You know, no wasted bullets, no, you know, no muss. Just perfect headshots every time, and then I would move on to the next room. And that's what was so great about Max Payne, is that was the whole game was like that. It was just kicking open doors and killing everybody in the room in the most beautiful and graceful way possible.
That's fantastic. I can kind of relate to that a little bit. I mean, most of my stuff, because I play a lot of shooters, it's probably in a more competitive context. But going back to mechs, in Mech Commander, which is a sort of the top-down tactical strategy game, there's sort of a skill. You could salvage parts of enemy mechs you destroyed, and there's sort of a skill associated with equipping a certain weapon loadout so you didn't overkill enemy mechs, but still, you know, equipping enough weapons so you could survive. And I don't know, I always had fun trying to salvage like really high level mechs and sort of bringing them back with me from missions and using them for next missions. That was really cool. And way back, probably the big one that stands out over anything else though is back when I was playing Counter-Strike with a clan. We're playing a match on it's a map called Kabul. And there's sort of a ladder lookout on the left side. If you're the CTs when you spawn, you run up the ladder. And I had the scout sniper rifle equipped, and I never play sniper and everything. And I got 3 headshots within 10 seconds and ended the round. It was amazing. I wish I had a video of that, if anything else. More than my wedding, probably.
which you haven't had. But I think that if we're going to talk about, like, you know, self-imposed restrictions on things, like going through the original XCOM using either only like original Earth weapons or only stun weapons, that's extremely challenging, at least when you crank the difficulty up.
Yeah, it's definitely a good one.
All right, ladies and gents, let's talk playlists. For me, a lot of my holiday vacation, I was away from the computer. It was a very strange experience. So mostly I just played the Defense Grid. But most of the time I was without gaming for probably the longest time I've gone without in years. But God knows, it's good to be back. How about you, Mr. Stapleton?
Well, I have been playing a lot of Defense Grid. I've been playing the Windows 7 beta game, which...
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, which I've been in there for about a week now. And, you know, it's going pretty smoothly. I think the most difficulty I've had with it, first of all, I was using a wireless, what was it? It was a Netgear 802.11n USB adapter that I got off of Woot for like $7. So it was kind of, you know, crappy, and it didn't work with Windows 7. And the reason for that was that the Netgear had never updated the drivers specifically for Vista. Now the XP drivers worked in Vista, but XP drivers will not work necessarily in Windows 7, whereas Vista drivers almost all those will work in Windows 7. So I did have to get a new wireless adapter, which was probably a good thing anyway, because that one was crap. The only other problem I had with it was that there was some NVIDIA storage controller drivers for my motherboard that were causing a blue screen. But, you know, it told me what the problem was. I went and uninstalled that, and no more problem. And you know, the drivers weren't essential anyway. So yeah, it's been a pretty smooth experience for the most part. It works well. It rarely crashes. It did crash on me a few times because of those driver problems. But since then, it hasn't really crashed on me, and all my games work.
Whoa, whoa, whoa! It told you the problem?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Isn't it?
Amazing.
Everything works well. I like the new taskbar a lot. I gotta say it may just be the novelty at this point, but I think I do like it better than the XP style taskbar. And yeah, so far so good.
Is there any good new Games for Windows features or game browser stuff?
No. The game browser, I consider that to be a total failure. I mean, does anybody ever use the game browser in Vista?
The what?
I like didn't even know it existed until you guys told
only
me.
Only to hurt myself. Yeah. It's pretty awful. But yeah, Windows 7, that's good to hear. I saw Norm at MaxPC. He was running on his MacBook yesterday cleanly, so
yeah,
that's good news. As for what I've been playing, I'm looking forward to getting more into the Defense Grid. I'm only about 5 or 6 missions in so far. Playing Left 4 Dead every night. I kind of come home every night and I'm like, okay, this is a night I'm not going to play Left 4 Dead. I'm going to do something else, but it just happens anyway. People invite me and I can't help myself. Last weekend, I put a lot of time into playing Armed Assault, otherwise known as ARMA. It's sort of it's developed by Bohemia Interactive. It's like a really simmy Operation Flashpoint counterpart kind of game. And really just enjoy the pace of it. And I'm sort of ashamed to say, sort of like almost the role-playing aspects of it, of, you know, getting 8 people in a squad and knowing you have, you know, 60 people in this expansive, miles-wide battlefield. You can coordinate however you want. You have to be really patient and give commands. Just the slow pacing was really refreshing, and the realism was really refreshing against Left 4 Dead and Team Fortress.
I would just like to take a moment here to praise Steam. And I know there are a lot of people out there that don't like Steam, but there is one feature that is undeniably awesome. And that when I reinstalled when I wiped out Vista and put on Windows 7, I just copied over my Steam folder to another drive, and then when I reformatted, just reinstalled Steam to that directory, and bam, everything works. You know, I don't have to reinstall all of my games. They already work. That to me is you know, pretty much the best feature of Steam, almost. Besides not having to have disks, you know, swap out disks in the drive. That is incredibly awesome.
And not destroying my machine with some weird, you know, DRM.
Right. I don't understand why Steam has the like backup feature in there, because you don't need that. You just copy the directories.
Yeah. Well, that's probably maybe just to make it even more foolproof, you know.
Yeah, I guess it makes it a little bit more user friendly. Although it takes forever, though. Yeah. I mean, it's like it's compressing it or encrypting it or something. This is much much easier. Just move the whole directory.
Mr. Augustine, what have you been playing lately?
A lot of WoW and a lot of EVE Online. I got a bunch of tips from listeners last week when I asked for help with EVE Online, and I haven't had a chance to respond to all of them yet, so sorry. But, I mean, these guys know some really good stuff, so I got a lot of tips sent to me, so I'm starting off on the right foot. They kind of gave me some tips, you know, which skills are useful, which aren't. So I'm really enjoying it. And got my WoW guy up to 76, so I'm almost 80. I should get there this weekend if I power through.
So with EVE Online, what skills are you using?
First, they said to train up all your learning skills, because there aren't like XP levels in EVE. You just have skills that you train, and it just takes time. So if you train all your learning skills first, then all the rest of them go a lot faster. Hmm. And so that's what I'm doing. My first character, I tried to make like a trader, because I heard you could be like industry and trade and stuff like that. But it seemed not... It was so difficult to do the combat missions just because all my points were in, like, social skills that I went back and started a new character that's just straight up military special ops. And so I'm doing a lot of combat now, doing those missions. It's a lot of fun.
So you're getting your learn on, is what you're saying.
Oh, I'm getting my learn on. Yeah, I love the way it works is you don't have to be logged in while you're learning these skills. You can set it, and it may take, you know, like a day and 8 hours or something, but you just set it, and then it'll go constantly while you're offline. So it's like, if I don't have time to play that day, I can just log in, make sure something is being trained up, and then I can log off. It's really nice.
I know, it sounds like it's incentivizing you to not play the game.
Well, I mean, getting your skills up is useless if you're not going to actually go in and do anything with them. So, I mean, the fun part isn't sitting there and clicking, you know, train the skill. The fun part is going out there and, you know, taking down the pirates and stuff.
Hmm. Interesting. I'll have to look over your shoulder while you're playing. I'm interested to see how it looks. I jumped in for like 15 minutes. I'm like, this is a little too complicated for me right now. So
yeah, I was... I was impressed by how beautiful the game looks. I mean, like, I love space and I love, you know, just seeing the planets and the nebulas all around you. But for being, I think it came out, it was released in 2003 or maybe
something
even 2001. But I mean, it's kind of an old game, but I mean, it looks beautiful. It still looks
they've
really
had a
nice.
They've had a couple of graphical revamps that I've seen some screenshots of it with. It's gotten a few very nice facelifts.
Yeah, and I've been reading some stats for 2008 MMOs, like login subscriptions, and EVE Online is getting a decent increase in subscriptions and logins and stuff. And the cool thing about it is everyone is on one server. So even though I think there's only like, I'm going to get this wrong, but maybe like 250,000 players, I think, total or something like that, they're all on the same server. So you have, I think they hit their max was 45,000 people logged in at once on one server, which is pretty impressive.
Yeah.
So if you're interested, don't be afraid because you think the community's too small or anything. These people are out there in big numbers.
Be afraid for other reasons.
Yes. Yeah, for how intense
space
they are.
Space pirates.
Are there any shysters who are going to like come take you off for all you're worth?
I hope not, but I've heard some.
There's actually a really cool mechanic. Like, basically, in order to retain your character, if you die, you have to clone yourself. But you have to go to like a cloning agency. Correct me if I'm wrong here, Josh. And you have to remember to do that. You have to like actively make a new copy of your character when you level up. Is that right?
Yeah. It takes an image of what. So if you've trained new skills since then, you need to. You can also buy insurance for your ship. So if your ship gets destroyed, like you can get a new one. So.
Oh, what was that terrible movie where like the bad guys kept getting cloned after they get shot?
Is that The Sixth Day?
Oh, The Sixth Day.
Something like that.
Oh.
So bad.
Mr. Bauman, now that you have all you've tainted this podcast with the memory of that horrific movie, why don't you share with us your playlist?
My playlist is like not so much a list as it is a one word.
So that would be lit, I guess? Or
yeah, it's just Left 4 Dead, basically. A little Far Cry, too. But like, I seriously, God, work is just like being stupid right now with Sundance Film Festival, and so I don't have time to game, and it sucks. It kills me. But yeah, Far Cry 2 is rad. I can't wait to get into it more.
No one wants a podcast to end, but if it didn't, you'd never have the opportunity to look forward to the next one. In the meantime, why not send us your questions in MP3 format to PCGamerPodcast@gmail.com. That's PCGamerPodcast@gmail.com, or just call us toll-free at 877-404-1337 at extension 724 and record your question there. Remember to keep it brief and know that potty mouths can expect to be met with the harsh mistress of the delete key. You can also get the new year started off on the right foot by subscribing to PC Gamer Magazine. Just head on over to www.gamesradar.com/PC. Scroll down and on the left side of the screen you'll see the wee little button and click subscribe. For the PC Gamer Podcast crew, this is a rock legend Logan Decker saying thanks for listening, and we're looking forward to getting together with all of you and special guest star Chuck Osborne next week. Man, I had a point.
You did not.
Yes, and it doesn't happen that often, so when I have one, I'm like, ooh, I can't wait.
Yeah, I got my girlfriend playing Peggle, and she tried World of Warcraft for like a week, and that was it.
Oh, you tried? You tried your best?
I tried. Yeah, she liked it, but it's like if I wasn't there right next to her, like she'd never play.
Oh.
So. But A for effort, at least.
Yeah, you almost got your free month or whatever.
Exactly. So close.
Damn.